In a news update, Friday, Thursday, 29th, 2022, morning edition, part number 5, or hour number 5, broadcasting on both SiriusXM and terrestrial satellite radio networks, and broadcasting across all podcasting platforms such as Spotify.fm, Anchor.fm, Stitcher, Applecast, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. Our podcast name is Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. Tell you right, folks. We'll see you with hour number 5 momentarily. Stay tuned.
Gas supplies. And of course, as you know, Germany shut down their nuclear power plants, their generating capacity, their natural gas. The generating capacity is not going to be able to provide electricity, and wind and solar power just doesn't cut it. And so Germany is refusing to bring back online their nuclear power plants. And so they're in a world of hurt. And the German people were basically going to demand that the government release the sanctions. The globalists didn't want this, and that's why I think they sabotaged the pipeline so that it does away with any German motive to release the sanctions, because it's not going to do any good now. The gas is not coming back, not for many, many months. It will take clear until next year before they can repair those pipelines, which is very difficult.
I mean, that's my gut level, and stay there and elaborate, but gut level, who stands to gain? The Russians don't gain. Well, at the end of the day, the Ukrainians don't even gain. And you have the CIA saying, oh, we think the Ukrainians are going to do it to German and EU intelligence a few weeks ago, and that's put out in the news. But actually, the speculating globalist New World Order who want the Great Reset and have said they want this and have said they want to force Europe off gas, this, the kimono, this benefits them.
Yes, it does. You know, I've said for many, many years, at least 10 years ago, that Europe should not get beholden to Russia about gas because they can be held hostage, which is what was happening.
And Trump said that. But,
that's right. But the West, in fact, knew that the Germans and the Europeans don't have the guts to take it and to suffer. They're going to say, release the sanctions, and that's why the CIA or the deep state
has gone ahead and just blown both pipelines up. Let's talk about that. I agree with you. I said I didn't know the answer, but that's where the evidence leaned. I wanted to see what you had to say. Didn't talk to you beforehand. You just agree with my gut-level analysis with all the data. This is a big deal, folks. What's this going to do economically? Separate from Russia, let's talk about it with Joel Skousen when we come back. You'll recap all that, Joel, in a lot of time. Well, I've been saying since the start, I believe Putin walked into a trap. But I agree with Joel Skousen. The Pentagon and others thought Russia would fight harder or would have more success. Because I know people that are over there right now. And it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Because the Russians have 20, 30-year-old technology. Their military is not joint forces trained. They're not being coordinated by satellites. They're not in live time. It's like they're fighting Martians or something. Because the CIA, the Pentagon, the Navy SEALs, the Army Special Operations are there. And it's not like Army Special Operations is trying to hunt down Islamic operatives or stuff where you can't tell who they are. This is classical World War II style military up against a fifth generational military, and they're just getting their asses handed to them. And so I'm concerned that Putin will double down and will do a lot of violent things. And it's just an incredible moment to be alive. We're going back to Joel Skousen in a moment. Please remember that we're listener supported and we're up against the deep state right now. And I've expended almost all of our capital to stay on air. And please understand that they made a big deal in court last week. Oh, he sells a silver dollar, a collectible coin, marked up 3-4 times what it's worth. We never said that we're selling this as spot. It's a collectible, historic coin, Teddy Roosevelt, man in the arena, that is gorgeous, that I designed, only 10,000, half have been sold to keep us on air. It's a fundraiser, and they insult my intelligence. They insult your intelligence, I think, those of you that have gotten it. It's the final coin this year. We put out 4 coins. The last 3 were founding members. Founding members get a discount on it. A bunch of other benefits are coming. But this is the Man in the Arena coin. Please stand with us in the arena. Get it at 1776coin.com, 1776coin.com, or at patriotcollectibles.com. And again, you want to buy the Great Reset in the War for the World, been number one off and on the last month in the world, you can buy it for 20-something bucks at InfoWars Store. But if you want to pay $99 to get a signed copy as a fundraiser, You're not having the wool pulled over your eyes, like the plaintiff's lawyer said. It's a fundraiser, just like when PBS or NPR sells a coffee cup for $50 that costs $5, or sells a t-shirt that costs $10 for $100. Well, this is a coin cost us 30-something bucks, and we sell for $100. The point is, it's available at 1776coin.com. The Great Reset signed copies or unsigned copies are available at InfoWarsStore.com. And I want to thank you all for keeping us on the air, because we're doing our best work ever right now. And they are so angry we're still on air. They are so upset. All right, going back to Joel Skousen. Joel, fast forwarding to where we are now, I agree with you that it's a deep state operation. Oh, Europe, you're about to turn the pipelines on? You're about to capitulate to Putin? We'll just blow those up for you, separate from Russia. We can hit that too. What will this do to the economy of the world? They're already talking about Europe collapsing, a Marshall Plan, a universal basic income in Europe and the UK, where they give you money with programmable tokens, where they tell you how you can spend it for your gas, for your fuel. It looks like this is a great reset operation. What do you think?
It is, but the Great Reset is going to take a lot longer than being instantaneous like this. First of all, remember that Germany is not going to collapse over this pipeline thing. There is, you know, the Norway to Poland pipeline, which then can be redistributed into Europe as well. So they're going to make it through. It's going to be a real hardship, but they're just foreclosing the sentiment that we need to release the sanctions. They're going to stop that. And remember, this hurts Putin as well. This cuts off the major, what remaining income stream he was having from the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, and that isn't coming back anytime soon. Sure, he can market gas to China and other places, but not at the same price, the elevated price that he was getting for that. The Great Reset is the real issue, and there's a war on to be whether or not we're going to get into this AI robotic society of the Great Reset and all of the digital currency, or whether or not actual physical war is going to come first. That's the race right now. And the world, the West, is heading headlong toward war, and Russia and China are clearly preparing for it. The West is trying to provoke it. But it's not as if Russia's innocent. He's not innocent. They've always been intending. That's why they faked their own demise. They're still communists. And believe me, readers, Putin is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. You don't become a KGB colonel by being a Christian. You don't bomb and artillery destroy cities all over the Ukraine if you're a Christian. You don't kill innocent people if you do that. And you don't persecute evangelical Christian sects in Russia.
Sure, well, just to be clear, no one's saying that everybody's going to die in Europe, or that this is the new world order is about to take over. But they admit, Klaus Schwab admits, they're using this energy cutoff, and they promised carbon lockdowns by cutting off the power, and included that's where they're moving. So they're introducing us to all of this now.
It's true. How soon they can do it is still a real question, and I don't think it could be done very, very soon. They are very worried in the European Union about the anti-globalist sentiment that's building. Sweden, for example, just elected a mostly right-wing president. Italy just elected Giorgia Meloni. Now, she's kind of a suspect. You've got to remember that Meloni, even though she's saying great things about God, country, family, and religion, etc., she's a member of the Aspen Institute, which is a globalist organization. She has also voted, as a member of Parliament, she voted for the Green Deal. She voted for all the mandates and COVID restrictions, which were anti-liberty, etc. So, you know, this is a questionable thing. I'm very skeptical here that she, and first of all, she's not going to be able to change much. Italy's part of the EU. They control their money. They don't have control of their fiscal policy.
You know, I mean, overall, I agree. But it's a good sign that in Sweden, they're electing right-wingers. In Canada, right-wingers are set to win elections and have gotten conservative leadership. They're speaking anti-Klaus Schwab, anti-New World Order, Bolsonaro, all of it. Clearly, there is a big populist awakening. That's positive.
It is positive. It is positive. I'm just not sure it's enough. You've got to remember the deep state in the United States is all powerful. It's just all powerful.
Believe me, I've experienced it.
You're up against a judge that prohibited you from using a First Amendment defense, of all things.
I'm not allowed to say I'm innocent. I'm not allowed to point out, I don't know who these people are that are suing me. I barely ever even talked about it.
Yeah. But I mean, the deep state is very, it's very, very powerful in Europe as well. I'm It's wonderful that we're having a resistance movement, but in Canada, I'll tell you, they keep electing this guy Trudeau, Castro's bastard son, and that doesn't speak well for Canadians.
Well, they've used, as you know, the parliamentary system. You only got like 31% of the vote. They've used manipulation like Merkel did to stay in.
But when you look at the real conservative votes in the United States, it's probably less than 20%. You know, remember, only half of people in the United States vote.
Well, that's my next question. What do you see in 41 days of the midterms?
You know, I don't think that the Republicans are going to, I think we're going to make gains in the House. I don't think we're going to make gains in the Senate. I think that Mitch McConnell is sabotaging the GOP chances by going against the Trump-backed candidates. I think Trump, to a certain extent, is harming the system now. I think DeSantis would be a better candidate in 2024, but we'll see how that works out. I don't think anybody can win against Trump if he decides to run.
Well, that was my next question. I don't think Trump's a bad guy. I think he means well, but he has a blind side with this vaccine. I even got folks to talk to him. He just said, nope, I don't care. I don't hear from Alex anymore. He contacted me and contacted Roger, and I shot a video, got to Trump, and Trump said, I don't want to hear about this again. I'm sticking with this. And so he's so pig-headed. I like the fact you like DeSantis. Even though he went to Yale, he's not perfect. We should talk about DeSantis when we come back. But just in a minute, what do you make of Trump?
Well, you know, I think Trump has good intentions. He really does want to make America great, but he doesn't have a clue. He came in, he'd never been a conservative. He knew no conservatives. He'd palled around with Hillary Clinton, and so he didn't know how to pick. He doesn't study conspiracy. He only lives by briefings, and he doesn't get briefed by any of us. You know, I could tell him, you know, the deep state created Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and that would change his ability to be influenced by the intelligence community. Made a big mistake in killing Soleimani, who was financing the anti-ISIS and deep state attacks by the Iraqi militia. He wasn't the biggest sponsor of terror. He was the biggest sponsor of anti-U.S. terror. I mean, this is a very complex world, conservatives. You've got to really know conspiracy to understand what's going on in this country.
All right, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Stay there. Everybody can go there to the site, click on a link, get a free copy of it. We're going to come back and talk about DeSantis, talk about the globalists, talk about it all. Stay with us. All right, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com is our guest. I'm Alex Jones, your host. And Joel, I want to do this. I want to throw out some quick points and get your quick answers on this. I really respect your view. Since I was going to ask about DeSantis, let's put him at the end. Obviously, Putin not delivering on the super strongman image he's had is going to damage him. I see kind of the Russophiles around the world kind of really turning against him right now. I see that as dangerous. It may make him lash out even stronger. So a minute or two on Putin, what this does to him. Then let's talk about Biden, who is degenerating super fast. Who really is the president? So let's look at Biden. And then let's look at, like you said, DeSantis, and maybe throw in Bolsonaro or anybody else you think is important.
Well, first of all, you have to understand about Vladimir Putin that he was chosen by Boris Berezovsky to be president when they ousted Yeltsin the drunk, who was just a place setter president at the phony fall of the Soviet Union. Putin met with Berezovsky 5 times in a Spanish villa the year he ascended to the presidency. So we know Berezovsky chose him. But Putin eventually took all of the original oligarchs, who, by the way, were the hidden communist leaders behind the Politburo, who manufactured this phony fall of the Soviet Union. They came out and had the state bank give them the funds to be able to buy up Gazprom and all of the major oil industry to make them oligarchs. Putin ended up killing Berezovsky, assassinating him in London. He exiled Grudzinski and jailed Khodorkovsky and all the other oligarchs. And so he set up his own younger oligarchs now who pay him, rumored my contacts say, about 4% of their income, making Putin the most wealthy person in the world. But remember, in answer to your question, Putin is now a strongman leader, not just a communist, but a strongman leader like Stalin or Lenin. And it's going to be very difficult to overthrow. This is not a democracy. He cannot be unelected. He has to be overthrown. And I'm not sure there's enough power within Russia because the communists are still in charge and he's their man to overthrow.
Sure, but what about the incredible danger if he was overthrown? Who knows what will come out of that?
Well, that's right. But still, you've got to remember, the party is still in charge. in the Kremlin, in the halls of the Kremlin, you still have people saying the party says this, the party says that. So they know that the party still rules. But he's the strongman leader. He's made himself president for life, just like Xi Jinping. That happens when we're heading for a world war. You have a president for life. I don't think it's
going to be. Oh, yeah, I forgot to bring up Xi Jinping before we hit DeSantis and Biden. Xi Jinping, all these rumors of coups, people being rounded up, trains shut down. Some of it's true, a lot of it's not. Well, what's your intel?
I'll tell you, it's still an unknown. There's a lot of rumors floating around, a lot of false rumors, too. I'm just not sure. I don't think that Xi Jinping has been overthrown. That's my gut feeling right now, but we'll have to see.
I agree with you. Okay, let's look at Biden in the midterms. I mean, he is degenerating. I don't know if you've been watching, but he literally, like from a week ago, he's much worse. He's on vacation 60% of the time. What are they going to do about that? 25th Amendment? What's going to happen?
Well, I've been waiting for someone to come in and announce that Biden is retiring and getting out of the way. He can't keep going like this. His mind just isn't holding up. I think the problem is they don't have anyone that is willing to replace him yet. This is a really touchy situation with this great reset going on, this Build Back Better and this inflationary situation. Who wants to own that? Which of the Democrats want to own that? That's the problem within the party. That's one of the reasons they put Biden in, is because he's dispensable. He can get away. He's disposable. I mean, when this gets so unpopular, they can remove Biden and play like it's going away. But they're going to have somebody. And I'm not counting out Hillary Clinton yet. You know, somebody as smart as her is capable of coming in and claiming to be a moderate to moderate these policies. But Biden is not, in my opinion, going to be running for president in 2024.
I think we're going to see a Republican landslide, except there's going to be massive election fraud again.
Yeah, there would be a massive landslide if it were not election fraud. But believe me, I don't think they're going to let the Republicans.
They're not going to stop now. They already got away with it. I agree. I think it'll be worse. What about DeSantis? I gut level like DeSantis, but I have a lot of questions. Everything he says seems to be really good. I get a good feeling, but I want to just operate off that. What do you think of DeSantis?
Well, I feel the same way, Alex. I like DeSantis, what he's saying, but you've got to be cautious in the fact that DeSantis doesn't know anything about conspiracy either. And so, he's a smart
guy. But he seems to be a quick study.
That's right. If he got the right advisors around him, if I had 4 hours with him, I could set him straight and help him understand what the deep state is doing.
And by the way, people don't know about you. You weren't just an Air Force officer. You weren't just a naval aviator in Vietnam. You led the main conservative coalition that they hate so much that almost took the country back with Reagan. So it's not like you're just speaking out of turn here.
Yeah, that's right. But in any case, Trump is literally inaccessible. If you're not part of his inner crowd, you just can't get to him. And so he's unteachable in that regard. That's what I
mean. And he wants to be told what he wants to be told. Trump doesn't like having conversations with me because I argue with him.
That's right. He doesn't like to be argued. He wants to be briefed. And he may disagree with their briefers, but he doesn't have the argumentative background to be able to back his gut intuition. When he correctly said we ought to do away with birthright citizenship, they talked him out of it in 5 minutes, and he didn't have the arguments to.
Yeah, his gut was, these vaccines are dangerous, but he has a 2-hour meeting with Bill Gates and reverses course.
Yeah. So, as I say, I think DeSantis would be more workable. The establishment hates DeSantis, and they're trying to get him out in Texas and put in Charlie Crist, the gay, governor in there. You know that DeSantis is probably on the right track because the establishment is so deeply against him. Notice in George W. Bush was president, they never came out strongly against Bush on anything.
Sure, let me ask a selfish question. Why do they hate me so much? I mean, they literally seethe with hate, thousands of articles a day, every day. It just totalizes, what have I done? I mean, I'm not...
Well, it's your effectiveness, Alex. You've got the biggest audience in the entire hard right conservative movement, and it's impressive to them. They fear the truth. That's the problem. I mean, that's why they've even refused to put your Great Reset book, which is bestseller status on the New York Times, they refused to put it on because it would get people to read it, and that's why they won't accede to it.
Do you have any advice for me? Because I'm in the darkest point of my life. It's also the most positive. I mean, I'm being persecuted because I've been good. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to pray more, trying to be close to God. But what is your advice? Because I respect you, Joel, about what I should do right now, what I should be saying, and what the audience should be doing.
Just be more careful. And what I'm saying is so that they can't find anything to pick. I mean, I reviewed the tapes about, you know, the Sandy Hook thing, and it was just a very brief minute when you bought into that thing about, you know, Robbie Parker and the others. And, you know, I'm a real believer in conscience, that it warns us when we're dealing with a little
My mother called up when Steve Pachinik was on 6 years ago, saying, "No, Alex, it's staged." And I'm not trying to attack Steve, but he won't come on. High-level CIA. She said, "That guy's with the Bushes. You better get off the Sandy Hook thing," long before they sued me. And my mom said, "You're being set up with Sandy Hook." And I'm just like, I barely even talked about it. I just blew her off. But my mother's conscience, her gut was right.
That's right. And, you know, all of us in the conservative movement need to really listen more closely to conscience, not only about the spiritual things, but about our temporal lives. We need to lose weight. We need to be stronger mentally. We need to study. We need to get off the junk food. I mean, if we're going to survive this, here's my basic point that I want to make. You know, the big problem with Trump that I see is people think he's going to save us and we don't have to prepare. I'm telling you, Alex, that nobody is going to defeat this deep state. It's too deeply entrenched. That doesn't mean we don't stop fighting. We need to elect good people. We need to fight back because it teaches, it converts people to become the remnant that we need to survive when we have to go back to our rural roots, which someday everybody's going to have to leave the big cities, which are going to
be. And by the way, my conscience, my spirit just orders me to go rural now. It's like every 10 seconds, get out of the city, get out of the city, get out of the city.
And the reason is because when this either Great Reset or the war comes, the supply chain is going to just literally disappear and you're not going to be able to.
And that was my last question. Do 5 more minutes, but do it now, a minute now. Supply chain, how bad is it?
It's actually recovering in some areas and getting worse in some areas, but they intend to sabotage it more completely. It's never going to get very good, coupled with inflation, which really makes it very, very difficult.
That's exactly what we've seen as big manufacturers. It got devastated, came back a little, but is all screwed up.
Yeah, and it's never going to get any better. The hurricane, everything else is going to play into this. But what I'm saying is this, if you're waiting for good times to come back and get property and to buy your survival gear and buy solar and buy generators, then don't wait. You've got to do it now because things are just going to get worse. We are never going back to good times in the United States.
Well, even Macron said that. He said it's never going back. The good times are over.
Yeah. Of course, he's part of the conspiracy to make sure it doesn't get.
Oh, exactly. All right, we'll do a few more minutes. We got one caller we're going to take, Charlene, when we come back. Stay with us. Kate Daly's got a big guest coming up in the fourth hour. Look forward to seeing and hearing that. So be sure and stay with us. Owen Schroer in 1 hour with the War Room. Joel Scales, I want to cram one call in here. I wasn't trying to bash Steve Pachinik earlier. I was just saying what my mom said. Now Steve won't come on the show for whatever reason, but we've got Charlene in Pennsylvania. She's got a quick comment on Steve Pachinik. I have no idea what it is. Go ahead, Charlene.
Where is he? Where is Steve Pachinik? He's not posting no videos. He's not putting up on his blog or his Twitter or his Facebook page. What's happening with him?
I don't know. I mean, I've invited him on the show, and I'm not trying to bash him. He was just the final guy that said, "No, Alex, it was staged. You're doing the right thing. Stay Sandy Hook staged." And I just wanted him to come on, not about Sandy Hook, but about any of these issues. Charlene, you got any questions for Joel Skousen?
No, he's excellent. He's awesome. He's more intelligent than me.
No, we're all smart here in one way or another. All right, God bless you, Charlene. Thanks for the call. In closing here at Joel Skousen, worldfirstbrief.com, what other key items would you like to add to the viewers and listeners?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to cover everything I do in the World Affairs Brief every Friday, which I cover the news from the aspect of what the deep state is doing to us. And your listeners can get a free sample copy by going to worldaffairsbrief.com and click on Request the Sample on the left-hand side, and be happy to see all of you on Friday when I talk about this pipeline and some of the details here we haven't been able to mention on the show.
All right, well, here's my final question then, the thing I was forgetting. You're into strategic relocation. You build some of the most, you know, secure homes out there. You're the guy that wrote the best-selling book on secure homes. Even mainstream news admits the rich are fleeing to bunkers, fleeing to the Southern Hemisphere. Why are they doing that?
Well, they know that a war is coming, and they're stupid enough to be going to New Zealand and Australia and Southern Hemisphere, where it's going to be taken over by China, and they don't understand that. It's really interesting that the people who are involved in the deep state at the lower levels are not being told what's being planned at the highest level. A lot of them don't know. You know, they know that something bad is going to happen, but they aren't being given much guidance. But you can get a lot of guidance by reading Strategic Relocation. Listen, you need to stay in the United States. The other countries that the expats are fleeing to now look good on paper right now, but I explain in the book why they're not going to be good at all when war comes.
And you've always said that for decades. Now you're vindicated. Look how we were the best house in a bad neighborhood during the COVID lockdowns and tyranny. We were still the best place to be.
That's right. South America wouldn't even let Americans leave the country, let alone, you know.
So tell us, and people should read the book at InfoWarsStore.com. They should watch the film, InfoWarsStore.com. But just in a minute and a half, where are just top five best places to live right now?
Well, I used to say that Canada was a good place, an escape place for Americans, but that's no longer true. In fact, I'm telling Canadians, get out of the country, because it's going downhill fast with that globalist president, and it's not going to change if he is voted out of office. But in the United States, the best areas are from in the Midwest, from Missouri on out to the Intermountain West, Montana, Utah, Idaho, northern Arizona. I used to include Colorado, but it's a blue state now. You don't want to move to a blue state because they're going to take all of your gun rights away and make it impossible for you to discriminate and make religious choices, etc. But right now, the Intermountain West is still too expensive because of all the Californians that moved out to Utah and Idaho. And so right now, Missouri is probably one of the top states to go to in terms of if you stay away from the St. Louis area by a long shot. But rural Missouri has still got a lot of good areas and fairly cheap land, which you can't say for the rest of the United States.
Well, if you got to stay in Texas, where would you be?
Well, you want to get into the area west of Dallas-Fort Worth area. Is still green enough. It's not into the dry, far west Texas area, which has just got no water, but it's got good ranch land, et cetera. So I would go stay about 50 to 70 miles away from Dallas-Fort Worth and go.
It's funny you say that. I know a bunch of really rich people, very well-known folks, and they're all moving to places like Weatherford, 30, 40, 50 miles outside of Fort Worth, 60, 70 miles from Dallas. That's where all the money's going.
That's right, yeah. And
crazy you know that, Joel. You're always impressive. Thank you so much, Joel Skousen. Guest on the economy and more. He's about to take over here in about 2 minutes. But as I've said, this is not a drill. It's not a game. This is not a joke. This is the New World Order. So thank you all for tuning in. We are seen by the enemy as the number one broadcast. And I hate having to come to you and say, hey, please keep us on air. But we are so close, ladies and gentlemen, to them winning. And we've got to stay on air. Our most important work is now. I don't want to lay off a single one of these great crew members. So we've launched the biggest sale of the year at InfoWarsStore.com with products and items you desperately need. With all that's coming down, and I think they're going to release new viruses, you name it, it's so important to boost your immune system. We've got all the products like X3 sold out for so long that it's the critical thing for your body and your immune system and your health and just your stamina, libido, everything. Back in stock, 50% off as part of the InfoWars store super sale that we're running for only a week and a half, 1 month, 1 week in the next month. Survival Shield X3, back in stock, 50% off. Brain Force Ultra, 50% off, back in stock. Brain Force Plus.
Thanks, Alex. Really appreciate you. And also, I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad that you're tuned in today because the information today is going to be so important. My guest, Greg Mannarino, the Robin Hood of Wall Street. I love this guy. TradersChoice.net is the website. He is, he's actually, people don't know this about you, you're actually a physician, you know, financial strategist, American trader. You kind of do it all. And I love that about you because you come from a lot of different walks of life, and I think it's very, very cool. Welcome to the show, Greg. How are you?
Thanks for having me. It's been a long time. I appreciate it. And let's have some fun with this.
Oh, absolutely. So you were talking today. You released a video today. By the way, you have to check out his YouTube channel, Greg Mannarino. You're going to get the wildest updates, and they are amazingly, let me just say this, your audience loves you because of your accuracy. So let's hear about the Bank of England first, because you dropped a very, very explosive video today.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I've been saying now for months, weeks, that we have a big issue here. And this, it's, you know, look, people are fixated on this, the stock market. Okay, it's all well and good. But the issue here is the driver, and that is the global debt market, which is a ticking time bomb. It's the greatest threat to human life. People don't understand how big this is. Forget about global warming, whatever it may be, real or not. Forget about nuclear war threats, real or not. This is a clear and present danger. The debt market here, the global financial system, is at risk today. And the action that was taken by the Bank of England here for another round of quantitative easing, after all we've been hearing how central banks are going to tighten monetary policy, they're going to do this, that, and the other thing. Look, this whole system is so twisted and so perverted. I've been saying that unless central banks take action, like now, you know, this thing was on the verge of imploding. An implosion in the debt market, again, is the greatest threat to human life and existence on the planet today. This will lead to a resource problem, a shutdown of the entire global financial system, a locking up of the system. People are going to take to the streets finally, like they should already be doing with all the corruption that's going on here. But this is it. This thing with Bank of England is humongous, and it's finally getting some freaking airplay on the mainstream channels, which, you know, look, you know how that works. They never want anyone to know what's really going on. It's all deceptions, it's distractions, it's look here, don't look here. You know, I've been warning people about this for years. And finally, to see it getting some attention really, I think, is an eye-opener.
Absolutely. I don't think people realize the role that they play. Do you?
No. Not at all. But look, the whole system is designed to keep people, you know, in some kind of a state that they have no idea what's going on. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know why they're doing it. You know, and this is not just a phenomenon here in the United States. This is something that's going on all over the world. People are being kept, you know, deceptively out of the know, told to be, you know, focusing on one nonsensical thing while other things are going on in the background. It's a story that has been going on since forever here, how those that really hold the power are able to keep it by keeping people in some kind of dumbed down, zombified state. And this is how they get away with it. You know, the masses of people, they have no clue as to what's actually going on. Thank goodness for shows like yours. People can hear the truth and maybe make some sense of it. I mean, we got to get this stuff out there. It's just too big.
It's so true. My guest, Greg Mannarino, Robin Hood of Wall Street. And so we hit on Bank of England, which I don't think it isn't talked about. You're absolutely right. What about central banks? Now, our central banks are, I love that they call it what they call it. It's not federal, nor it's a reserve. And anyway, but the central banks, let's talk about the central banks too, playing into this as well.
Well, you know, central banks, look, who controls the global financial system? Who controls the global economy? Who controls literally the freaking world? It's central banks. They control everything. They are in full command here. Everything else is a theater. It's a side act. It's a show. Period, the end. They dictate the rules because they control the money. They control the economy. They control the financial system. And they are working towards an end game. Look, central banks here, in my view, and I've been telling people this for years, this is the enemy. This is public enemy number one, bar none. And they are out to destroy the global economy. They're out to destroy the global financial system. So as they work in concert to bring about a new world order, a central bank controlled one world system, which we already have here. Like I was just saying, the rest of it is just a side act. And they are determined to do two things. Well, one, if you wrap it up, to be the lenders and buyers of a last resort here, to bring about a decrease in the global population by bringing the financial system to its knees. They are eliminating an entire class of people on a global level. The middle class is going extinct like the way of the dodo bird. And I've been telling people this for over a decade, and finally, people are starting to pay attention. And this like I said, these central banks, these are the enemy. And people need to understand, you know, look, we've allowed this to happen. We the people have given the power, this enormous power, to run the economy, to run the financial system, to central banks, which are private entities. These are no, like you were just saying, the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. It's just a, and they're not even part of the government. Meanwhile, they run everything. It's a sick situation, and it's leading towards a climax. The climax is going to be very simple here, a complete meltdown in the debt market. Henceforth, why today the Bank of America jumped in here with yet another round of quantitative easing, and now they're saying it's going to be unlimited. They're going to buy it all to stabilize the debt market. I've been warning people about this for weeks now. There was instability here in the debt market, and unless they did something, that was going to be it. The entire financial system was going to implode. Bank of England blinked first. Let's see who follows suit.
Wow. Wow. We're gonna go to a break soon, and we're talking with Greg Mannarino. You have to check out his YouTube channel, become a part of traderschoice.net. I did that a long time ago, smart move. And he calls it like it is, no BS. I like that about him. I think we need to listen to those that are calling it and saying this is exactly what's gonna happen. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the signs, some of the things that may roll out, the dollar, the market, basically your economy looking forward. What do you have to expect maybe in this next year? And is there an October surprise? We'll talk about that too with Greg. We'll be right back on the Alex Jones Show. I'm Kate Daly, guest host for the hour, katedalyradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Kate Daly, your guest host from katedalyradio.com. My guest, Greg Mannarino, the Robin Hood of Wall Street. Wonderful YouTube channel. If you're not getting that, you should be. He calls it like it is. I like that. And also traderschoice.net. I want to make sure and get it right. Traderschoice.net. Sign up and subscribe to him, because I'm telling you, you're going to love his videos. He just calls it. So let's talk a little bit about the dollar. I know everybody wants to know how this is going to affect them. What will it look like personally at home? What are some of the signs that you think are on their way? But let's talk about the dollar. What's happening with the dollar? Are they ever closer to their digital currency swap out?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the end game. I mean, it's part of the whole thing here. Look, we're watching a phenomenon occur, which I've spoken about for many, many years. Central banks, again, public enemy number freaking one in my book here, are in a race to the bottom with regard to the purchasing power of their currencies. They are strangling the global population to death by killing their currencies. And what is the effect? We're seeing it now. Skyrocketing inflation around the world. You know, and you got the mainstream propaganda ministry pushing the biggest freaking lie in the face of the earth right now. Oh, the Federal Reserve is going to be raising rates. Central banks are raising rates, and they're really, really seriously this time. They're going to start, you know, combating inflation. They're going to bring it down so everyone's life is just lovely. But what they're not telling people, if they don't stabilize the currency globally, which is in free fall, like I just said, central banks are trying to kill their currencies deliberately to issue in a new system here. They can raise rates from here until kingdom come, whenever that may be. It's not going to make any darn difference. So you got the main, and I've been telling people this since day one. Oh, the Fed's going to raise the federal funds rate, the overnight lending rate. We're going to get some kind of trickle-up effect, and we're going to slow inflation. How about no? How about it hasn't worked, and everyone following my work, everybody, has known since day one that it wouldn't work. But this is the lie that is being sold. So we have here the U.S. dollar getting its purchasing power sucked out of it by design with this mummified Frankenstein brain dead president, forgive my, you know, little epithets here, and you know, the current administration here working in concert around the world. The puppet governments are slaves to the central banks, who are instituting this program and this act, or whatever it might be, to continue to pull cash from the future into the now to continue to inflate. It's an insane situation. People are getting wrecked, and they haven't seen anything yet with regard to the purchasing power of the dollar. And other fiat currencies are going up in smoke. They're evaporating, and people are going to suffer big time. There's just no doubt about it.
what happens when we go to a digital currency?
Well, this is what I see, and I think a lot of people are, would have to agree. What central banks are looking to do is, first of all, as I said, in my view, collectively, they are the governing body of the world. Everything else is just a freak show. So what do they want to do? They want to exert as much control as they possibly can on a smaller population. You see, all this ties together here. And I wrote an article years ago called Global Debt in the Human Bubble. What central banks have allowed to occur here is this ballooning global debt. Why is that even happening here? Why is it that we can't have a budget? Why is it that central banks, in collusion with their respective governments, continue to pull cash into the now? It's because globally, every developed nation on earth has a debt-based system or a debt-based economic model, which demands that debt be pulled into existence from the future in greater and greater amounts just to sustain where we are at its current level. So this mechanism here has hyperinflated global debt, and the population has followed in tandem. When this debt bubble bursts, and it's going to, the population is going to die off. That's why I am trying to tell people, who anyone who will listen, that this is the greatest threat to humankind. It's a clear and present danger, but no one's being allowed to know this. They're being told it's this. It's global warming. It's whatever other nonsensical thing they want to throw at people, okay? This is the real threat, and this is why central banks are now taking action. Today is historic. What we witnessed here with the Bank of England here, stepping in here and starting another round of quantitative easing. The U.S. 10-year yield, which is the benchmark, okay, everyone who follows the market kind of knows this, okay, fell 24 basis points today. Who's buying the debt? Is it the average guy or the average girl? No, it's the Fed. They're jumping in here and following suit. This is a coordinated effort here to continue to inflate, and people are going to suffer. And anyway, going back to what the question here, yeah, so central banks want more control. They're going to allow the debt market to implode, the financial system to collapse, and at that point they're going to institute a new system which will be 100% digital. They're going to track every single transaction down to the thousandth of a cent here. It's all about control. They want to know what you're doing, when you're doing it. We're not only one nation under surveillance. It gets a lot worse than that. Don't you think they're watching you and me right now? Oh yeah, hi. Yes, they are. You kidding me? It's an outrageous situation here. So look, people need to be ready for what's coming. And I can't stress this enough here. It's the debt market, which is the key, and the dollar being a unit. What is a dollar? Okay, do we even own these things? How about no? Every dollar you have in your wallet, you see those lovely digits in your bank account? You don't own a single one of these things. They're owned by an issuing central bank, and they're owed back to the issuing central bank plus interest that they create out of thin air. Wow, that's what these things are. But it's not enough. They want more control. Henceforth, why a digital currency is coming. And it's just a matter of the rollout, okay? In order for people are gonna fight this, obviously, the smart ones, okay? But what they're gonna do here, right now, globally, what's happening here is central banks are not only have created nation slaves, but they're creating individual slaves, people who are dependent on the system, and they want more and more people dependent on the system here. The more people they can get dependent on the system as it collapses, the more people that will accept it. This is what they're doing. And again, they need a big outcry. And the big outcry is going to be a locking up of the financial system. The credit market, the debt markets run it all. The stock market itself is not independent of anything. It derives value from what's occurring in the debt market overall. We're talking about central banks who are actually buying it all. And that's what they've been doing now for a very, very long time, despite what they're whispering to people through the mainstream propaganda ministry. But we got proof that they are today. Anyway, that's the situation with this. People need to be ready because this is the greatest threat to human life, period, the end. And I'm glad people are hearing this because it's just so important.
Absolutely. Can you come back for one more segment? Because there's questions. There's so many questions. I want to talk about October surprise, a little bit about
let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's, and we have about 45 seconds. We'll go to a break. But I have a lot of questions. I think the average person out there says, you know, I think they're thinking, is this a crash overnight? Is it something that we are just, we're just made to, and we can't afford anything. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. How does this happen? How does this roll out? I know last October they did a plan where they said we were going to crash the market and maybe for about 10 months to a year, everybody, they pay everybody's loans so that you're pacified and everybody's happy. And then you have to go back into digital currency in order to claim your loans on your things to be able to make payments. That would be very interesting. We'll come right back with Greg Mannarino, Robin Hood of Wall Street, TradersChoice.net. We'll be right back on The Alex Jones Show. Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. Back here with you, I'm Kate Daly, your guest host from KateDalyRadio.com. My guest is Greg Mannarino. So glad he's joining me today. The Robin Hood of Wall Street. I love this. Check out his YouTube and TradersChoice.net. Gives you great advice and on what to maybe put into the stock market. You know, just what's going on generally. I love his context. And also, I just wanted to mention the thing that I was talking about in October was the drill that they did last October, where they were going to, you know, do some funky moves with people's money and act like it was chaos and digital currency saves the day, but you have to access digital currency part of the system in order to get your loans back, you know, to get your house payments online again or your car payments online again. So is Greg still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Perfect, Greg. So let me put it this way. People envision sort of a 1920s depression. You know, does it look like that? Does it look like much worse? Because they always use that as the kind of the scalability of what can happen or what's going to happen. But I've been talking to some billionaires and they've been saying it's going to be much, much worse. So if this was a theater production of a 10-act play, what act are we in, do you think?
We right now, we're in the extreme early stages of this. And when this thing really gets going, look, people don't have to guess. There's a couple of things that I have informed people that they need to pay attention to. This whole thing is designed to and will eventually melt down greater than anyone can really possibly imagine. Let me explain this to people who focus on the stock market. There's not, actually on any asset today, there is no price discovery mechanism behind anything. When you have a debt market, which has been rigged by central banks and they're continuing to rig as of right now, Bank of England jumping in here with a new round of QE here, understanding that every asset derives value from what's happening in the debt market, which is exponentially larger than the stock market, nothing is real. No one even knows where the bottom is with regard to the stock market. We're gonna have a crash, when is that gonna happen? Look, there's no guesswork here. There's one thing on my website that's free to everyone who wants to look at it. It's called the MMRI, Mannarino Market Risk Indicator. What this is here, it looks at basically the debt market, the 10-year yield, including the US dollar, puts it in a neat little equation and comes up with a number. That number is color-coded as to risk in the market based upon action in the debt market. So by following the MMRI, which is free, 100%, by following the US 10-year yield, by following the US dollar, we can have a very good idea as to, there you go, as to when this thing is going to melt down. And I've been saying, the MMRI has hit record high after record high after record high just over the past few weeks. And I've been telling people, unless central banks do something and do it now, it's over. Well, what just happened? I mean, sometimes I freaking scare myself. I'm not lying. But the truth of the matter is, this is easy. It's easy to understand. They're not ready yet, in my view, to implode the system. And the implosion in this system is not going to look anything like the Great Depression here. Okay, what's going to end up happening here? First of all, it's a power shift. It's a power grab is what they're really going for. By bringing down the financial system in its current form and bringing forth a new one with more control over a much smaller population. This is the key here. This implosion in the debt market, again, is a survival issue, a resource problem. I urge people to look up Global Debt and the Human Bubble. It's an article I wrote years ago. It's playing out right before our eyes right now here. So the financial system implosion is going to, again, lead to a resource issue. And what's going to happen? The same people that are bringing this debt to its knees, the world economy and the financial system, which is the central banks collectively, they're going to be the same ones people are going to look to for help. Help us, please. I mean, are you kidding me? But this is what they do. This is how it's being set up. So this next thing, forget about the grid. This is going to be pandemonium on the streets on a biblical scale. I mean, people are going to be, you know, look, I've been telling people, you've got to prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, physically, every way you can for what's coming down the pike here. And, you know, look, it could happen at any moment. If, in fact, we did not see action from the Bank of England today, within a matter of days or weeks, this entire thing was going to come down. But I've also been telling people for weeks that I don't think they're ready yet. I think central banks are going to continue to inflate. What do they do, central banks? They have one product, and that is debt. They issue this debt here in the form of currency, and they buy assets with it. They're buying the world. They're the enemy here. Okay, they're the enemy. And people need to take action. I'm telling you, me, you, Alex, and whoever else should go outside the freaking Federal Reserve, and that's the building that should be stormed here, not the Capitol.
Right, absolutely. You know, it was a manufactured depression, and it was right after, geez, coincidentally, the central banks formed in 1913. And then, of course, you had this depression, but you had the freedom. If you had a dollar, you had the freedom to use that dollar. It's going to look very different with control in the future.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an inflationary depression on a massive scale. Because that's what they're going to do. Once this thing comes down and your currency is literally worthless at that particular point, then comes the new system. And people are going to beg for it. See, that's the worst part. People are going to beg for help. They're going to beg for the new system. This is how it's being set up. It's so obvious to me, and I think to most people who follow our work, how it's being set up. It's an incredible thing to see. It's horrible to have to witness the suffering of people. Right now, people are suffering. But, you know, you remember what Biden said? There's no inflation, and everyone's rich. We're all doing great. You can't make this stuff up if you try to.
No, you're right. You're so right. I know we only have a few minutes. October surprise. What would that be at this point? Everyone, I think, is just in like Stockholm syndrome right now, expecting an October surprise. What do you think that would be in this way, in the monetary?
Well, look, people that have been, you know, everyone's talking about this market, a potential crash in the market. Look, like I said, we don't have to guess, you and me. We look at the 10-year yield. We follow the U.S. dollar with Dixie, the relative strength of the dollar, or better yet, follow the MMRI, Mannarino Market Risk Indicator. When you see that thing spiking like crazy, like it's been doing recently, that should say, hold on a minute, something's going on here. So we don't have to sit here and guess if there's going to be an October surprise, November surprise. We can pretty much gauge where this is going to go by just following a few metrics. And when it does happen, it's going to be extremely rapid. We watched, just for example, today, the 10-year yield dropping like 24, 25 basis points. If we had the opposite effect, where the 10-year yield was rising 20, 30, 40 basis points in one day, it would destroy the stock market. And people are going to run to the door, as they always do, at the same time. So it's not a slow burn. A crash is rapid. A crash in the debt market or a meltdown in the debt market would be rapid, followed by a massive sell-off in the stock market. Like I said, no one knows where the bottom is. The Fed stepped in here at Dow 6,000 the last time with quantitative easing 1. The bottom could be Dow 2,000. No one knows where the bottom is, the bottomless pit. That's where we're going, unfortunately, but people need to band together, be ready for a worst-case scenario, period, the end. Prepare yourself. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, and we don't have to guess, like I said.
Diversify, because a lot of people out there are saying, what do I do with my 401k? What do I do here? You know, how do I save myself? Diversify.
It's very sad because people are stuck in an investment usually that only makes money when the stock market goes up. And then what happens is you got the investment banks here. What they do is they bet against their own clients on the way down. And it's just a wealth transfer from one group of people to another. What people need to do is, to protect themselves. Here's my favorite asset on the planet right here. It's physical silver. I think this is the most undervalued asset on the planet. I have a nice hoard of it. I own gold, I own platinum, I own palladium as well. I think it's very simple to understand where a house works. You got risk on, meaning cash going into the stock market. When you got a risk-off scenario, like I was explaining to you, a meltdown in the debt market destroys the stock market, cash doesn't grow money wings and fly away to money heaven. No, it just moves into other assets. And in my view, it's going to move into commodities because they're real things.
All right. Greg Mannarino, always fun to have you. Thank you. And always, always informational. My gosh, I hope everybody got all of that. TradersChoice.net. Join, subscribe, and of course, go to his YouTube channel. You'll love the videos. Greg Mannarino, thank you. Robin Hood of Wall Street, I love it. And I just love how you call it. I really do. It's refreshing. And I'll be right back talking a little bit about the gas lines. Yeah. So thank you, Greg. Really appreciate you. I'm Kate Daly for The Alex Jones Show. I'll be right back. Back here with you on The Alex Jones Show. Happy to be here. So glad you're here, too. I'm Kate Daly, your guest host from katedalyradio.com, The Kate Daly Show. Listen, war and money, right? Probably two of your biggest concerns right now, I would think, besides for food, inflation, paying fraud a lot. I mean, we could go on and on. But war and money, a big deal. So I just wanted to comment on the pipelines since this just happened and kind of give you my two cents, a couple of theories. And a big thank you to Greg Mannarino. TradersChoice.net is the website, and you'll get some great advice. I love Greg. He's fantastic. It's fun to listen to him. So are we going to war? A lot of people think that the pipelines is sort of like every sunk ship that begins this road to a war. Well, just to kind of go back in time a little bit, Nord Stream 1 was completed in 2011, and Nord Stream 2, which runs under the Baltic Sea, sort of bypassing Ukraine, of course, this started, I think this was 2021, right? And so now we have a situation where we have this, they say, strategic objection, right? This is what they want. They want Europe is too dependent on Russia, increasing Russia's influence in Europe, and Russia could use it as a geopolitical weapon, utilities, of course, this pipeline. So Ukraine has objected it because they lose around $2 billion in transit fees. So a lot of people don't realize that part of it, that Ukraine is not getting the money out of it that they normally do. And so as long as Russia gas transits through Ukraine, Russia's likely to intervene, right? And instability all the way around. So Europe requires about 100 billion cubic meters of natural gas each year. And this pipeline will do about 110, which is kind of interesting. So back in February, Germany halts the approval of the gas pipeline Nord Stream 2, right after Russia's actions in February, right before that all started in Ukraine. And the Chancellor Scholz asked the German economy ministry to take steps to make sure that the pipeline couldn't be certified at this point in time. And without that certification, it couldn't operate. It's actually turned off. Then, of course, Russia says they have a maintenance problem in August with the pipeline one, turn that off. And then some people view it as a precursor to, hey, it's a threat, or B, really maintenance. Who's to know? The $11 billion pipeline was designed to double the amount of gas flowing from Russia to Germany. And of course, it was completed in 2021. But if Nord Stream did go ahead, then Ukraine would lose the money. It's kind of an interesting little pickle that we're in. So the United States would like to increase its liquefied natural gas exports to Europe. This was being reported. Well, isn't that interesting? Germany, in August, Germany's natural gas was already 80% full, and the country was going to reach its October target early, and this was without that pipeline. Number one, that pipeline. Number two, that's shut up. That's not even working yet. But number one, as it was turned off, they said, you know what, we've got 80% full. We only need 90%, so they're only about 5% shy. So everybody's talking about the utilities. Everybody's talking about Germany, how cold it gets, they're gonna be without heat. But is that actually true? Because August 29th, they came out and said, yeah, we're almost at 85%. Gee, what was the other 5%? Well, of course, it was liquefied natural gas that they could get from us. Interesting. So it's a major win for Germany because, right, they previously sourced 32% of their natural gas from Russia. But the EU needs to boost its supplies, right, to reserve to at least 90 to have a safe winter. So are they still going to act like they're in a crisis to the German population? Well, of course they are. So they came out, Robert Habeck, a German economy minister, said he hoped rationing wouldn't be necessary to get through the winter, but couldn't rule it out exactly. So gas is now on short supply in Germany, he said. But is it? Back in February, there was an article written in Germany and it said, can Germany function without Putin's gas? The Green Federal Economics Minister, Habeck, answered with this decisive, very, very decisive, yes, it can. We can survive without that gas. And he announced the suspension of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, right? Because they didn't certify it. Why? Well, there were a lot of green reasons why they didn't do it. Interesting. So Germany announces